Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Charlotte Christian Fellowship Blog Talk Radio. My name is John Davis, and with me is my wife, Nadine. How you doing, babe?
Amen. Doing good.
All right. Well, thanks, y'all, for joining us tonight. And hold on. I did something wrong here. I'm hoping I'm doing the right thing. Am I doing the right thing?
I don't know. That's fine.
Huh?
That's fine.
Okay, this thing is up there. Still okay?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on, everybody.
Go ahead on.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm getting the screen together. And I want everybody to know, we thank y'all for joining us again tonight, and we ask y'all that y'all would please get your Bibles out tonight, because we're going to continue on getting prepared for Christ's return.
Amen.
Okay. I'm having a little technical difficulties on my side. There's nothing going on your side, but so my side alone. But my wife is right here with me helping me out, so hopefully that'll work. So before we start off with going any further to cover us, we need a little prayer. So, Mr. David, would you pray us in, please?
Thank you, Father God, for this another day that you have made and you allowed us to be a part of it. We ask tonight, Lord God, in Jesus' name, as we seek your face, that you would open the eyes of our understanding. Father God, help us to understand and know your will for us. We ask in Jesus' name that by your Holy Spirit's presence, Father God, you would guide us through your word and through the teachings that we're going to listen to tonight. We ask that you would give us ears to hear and a heart and a desire to do what it is that your word tells us to do. We don't want to be forgetful hearers, Father God, but we want to please you. So we turn this time over to you for you to have your way in our midst so that your transforming word can have its way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm hoping that you guys would call in and join us and stuff, because we have a mission. Everybody who accepted Christ in their life as Lord and Savior, we all have the same mission, and that is to do the work of the Lord, to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, you must study ourselves and, to get the word in us, because you can't, share what you ain't got, okay? Those who are listening listening tonight by the internet and stuff, you want to join us, and I'm hoping that you do, you need to call in. And the number to call in on is, 657-383-1624. Again, that's 657-383-1624. This is a live and interactive broadcast, okay? And because it is any noise in the background and stuff, we'll hear it. If you don't mute your phone, when you're not talking. So those who wish to call in, please mute it when you do call in. But we would like your participation. My wife and I, as everybody let you know, we're not the answer people. We just part of the body of Christ, and we're sharing what the Lord has shared with us, and we share with you guys. It's critical that we get prepared for Christ. A lot of us, you hear people saying, I can't wait till Jesus come. I can't wait for Jesus come. But tonight, you might not know what you're talking about when you say that, okay, because God has no favorites. And just because we got a lot of people going to church all the time and studying the Bible all the time, but your heart ain't right. We were studying today about your motives. Okay, just like a person might give money, or say, the person giving money, but what's the motive in the back? Did he give money for everybody to know he gave money? What's the motive? And did he do that to kindness of his heart? See, God's looking at each one of us. And so we who belong to Christ Jesus, we need to get prepared for his coming back. Okay, we need to accept him who he is. And during that process, it ain't a joke. It's for real. God, every one of us, like who we is, we're going to have to go before the Lord. So before we get started, I want everybody to know that, if you want to call in, please feel free to do so, or you can continue to listen. And we also want you to know that this is a 501c ministry. It is a nonprofit ministry, and everything, offerings and tithes, not tithes, but offerings we receive, go directly to the needy. And we have a mission that this ministry definitely does it with the word of God. So those funds go out to the widows and the orphans. And we have a fund on our website that you can go on and see where the funds your office are actually going. Also, we use some of the funds, very limited amount of funds, to make sure we have the broadcast live and stuff for you guys. Okay? So the one and only mission of this ministry is to make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, there is something I want you guys to know. I asked my wife to read a passage that the Lord had given me today before we start, Brother Zach, and it's in, what is that, 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians, Mr. Davis?
2 Corinthians.
Okay, and she's going to read something the Lord shared with us today, and please understand, those who are ears, let them hear. Mrs. Davis.
Amen. I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to start at the second verse. It says that we grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan inside. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothes us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God Himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we have done in this earthly body. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us so that you can answer those who brag about having spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all have died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So, we've stopped evaluating ourselves from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this, gift from God, who brought us back to Himself, reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who knew never sin, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ.
Brothers and sisters, as you just heard the word, are you really truly ready for Christ to come back right
Amen.
Now? It's easy for us to say because we don't like our surroundings going on, or because we're in some type of difficulty, or because, you know, we're angry at someone, you know, or we're even sick. Look, what we're trying to do, and what this mission that we're on, is getting everybody prepared for coming back with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes back, you don't want to hear these words, "Depart from me, I know you not." You know, and the Bible talks about the people saying, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do, you know, go to church on time, and didn't we serve the people over here, and didn't we feed it over here?" And he'll say to those people, "Depart from me, I know you not." Why did he say that? When you're doing what he said to do, because your heart ain't right. When your heart ain't right, because that's what he's looking at, our hearts. What's our motives?
Amen.
What's our motives? Our motives is what God looks at, things in the darkness. You see that people don't see what, you know, but he sees the heart. He knows our heart. So our mission as his living disciples is to prepare each of us for Christ. We're not to judge before his time. We're not to point fingers at each other. As you see in the book of Romans chapter 2, the Lord says when we point fingers at people who are still doing those things we used to do, we're condemning ourselves. We ought to pray for one another. We ought to tell truth to one another. This is the time of deceit. These are the times. They say, man, God has actually told us, well, we know the signs of the time. We can see the weather and stuff, but the signs of the time, the spiritual times, we're not seeing those. But they're here. We got all kind of false prophets left and right. My wife and I looked on TV today, and even from the last month or two, these false prophets all over the place, you know? And none of their prophecies came true. So we got them amongst us. Okay, and even though they're lying prophets, we're to tell them, we're not to talk about them, we're to tell. If we talk in front of them, talk to them. Talk to them. Try to tell them to repent. But don't be coming against them because we have lied too. And if we say we don't lie, we're coming God to lie because we're all sinning. We don't sin about, lie about that, but we lied about something else. Or we fabricated, or we added something to it, took something away from it. So that's some point to the people. And they'll say, well, this is a lying prophet. They know they're a lying prophet. But don't talk about them. If you have an opportunity to talk to them, talk to them. See, because what's our motives? So we got to check ourselves. The Bible has to tell us, check ourselves, but we don't become deceived and corrupt, you know, because of these things that's going on around us. We have to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. Mrs. Davis, you have something you want to share?
Yeah, I just wanted to say when we're talking about checking our motives, our heart motives, and in our own minds, our intentions may be noble to us, okay? And that just may be the way that it is. However, if you check your motives against God's word, you might find a difference. And that's why we need to do that. We need to check our motives against the truth.
Amen.
Because that's the only thing that matters. And I tell people all the time, what is your reason for giving your life to Christ? Nobody ever asked that question. You know, you hear a message and somebody says you need to get saved, and you say okay, but you don't even know why you say okay.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so then, actually, you don't have a motive. You've been coaxed into saying it.
Mm.
You see? So the thing of it is that this thing called salvation must happen in our hearts.
Amen.
It's not a conversation that we have with people.
Amen.
About repeating some prayer. God has to convict your heart of sin.
Yes.
And if that hasn't happened, and if your motive for getting in the kingdom is because you want to go to heaven, buddy, you missed it.
Yes, Lord.
There's so much more that is so vitally necessary to your Christian faith than just going to heaven. It starts with your relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
Have you ever had one?
Mm.
Have you ever encountered him? Really? Can you sit and tell somebody about the time you encountered Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Like Paul. Paul never met Jesus a day in his life, but he was going about killing people because they believed in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Although Jesus had come, died, and was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and
he did.
He knew who it was.
Yes, he did.
He got knocked off his horse.
Mm-hmm.
And every last one of us, I'm sorry, I don't want to mince words, and I don't want to make people feel bad, but the truth of the matter is, if you haven't met the Master, what is your salvation about?
Amen.
He's available. He wants to have a relationship with you. He tells you in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. Let me in.
Amen.
And I'll come in. And I'll have a relationship with you. We'll have a conversation with you. He wants to have a relationship with us, not somebody sitting across the table showing you what to repeat and say.
Right.
There's a true encounter that awaits you. Once you have acknowledged the fact that you are a sinner, not necessarily because you are a bad person, but because everybody born into this world was born a sinner.
Amen.
And God said every sinner got to die.
Mm.
Because a sinner is an act of rebellion against me, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And he is not going to have no rebellion in his kingdom.
Not no more.
So what he wants you to do is accept the sacrifice that his son paid for you, because there was a price that had to be paid for your life.
Amen.
You were kidnapped. Taken ransom by the God of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Who would bamboozle, trick, all of that? You didn't know, and your parents didn't know either.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't your fault. But now that you know the truth, you can do something about it.
Amen.
Go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I had no idea. That you were angry with me because I was born a sinner. I don't want to live a life of sin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm your child. Tell God that. He always say, remind me of my word.
Yep.
He said, he created you for himself,
mm-hmm.
and he wants you back. That's what an ambassador does. An ambassador reconciles you to God.
Right.
They don't tell you a bunch of words that you need to repeat to become a Christian. They take you to Christ.
That's who we are.
Amen. And so all I'm saying is to check the motives of your own heart. God is willing, he's desiring that you will come back to him.
Amen.
Because he loves you.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, don't forget also on every Tuesday night, my wife has a Blog Talk Radio broadcast, and she deals with making disciples. Most of you, a lot of women, but men, you're invited also. And to join that conversation on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, it's 929-477-3427. Again, it's 929-477-3427. Our mission, as I said before, is making disciples. We're not trying to prove a point or anything else. When Jesus comes back, my wife just read the word, everybody is going to stand before the Lord. Okay, that judgment that the Lord said coming, it's coming. It's coming. So, getting prepared for Christ is critical. I don't care if you think about, well, I get my tithes every week. A lot of people have been bamboozled, like my wife said, confused and lied to. As long as I get my tithes and offerings and, you know, come to church every week or go to Bible study, I'm cool. You're not. I'm telling you something. When you get before the Lord, all the Bible studying in the world and going to church, it's not going to get you into heaven. The Lord said us one thing. Jesus is the way. Okay, now what does that mean? That means, are you doing the will of the Father? That's what he said. Those who do the will of the Father. What is his will? Making disciples. So he didn't say, stay, you know, study. That's part of knowing the word. That's why you study so you're self-approved. But your job is what you learn, what he took you through. You take somebody else through that part that he took you through. He didn't tell you to take nobody through a whole Bible. If you ain't went through the whole Bible and got a experience with him one-on-one, you know, because he gets gifts from the man. Some have us teaching the skills, the teaching gift, and some have the preaching gift. But only he tells you to give what he gave you. But a lot of us, those people he gave the talents to, like the one that had 10 talents and five, and one had one, and the one buried his talent, that's a lot of us. We don't want to tell nobody about Jesus. We're ashamed. We get on our feet. Oh, I'm all right now. I'm going to know my past. Well, your past is your testimony. That is your testimony. And when people say, well, how do I go about testifying? Just like you talk about everything else in the world, why can't you tell, well, Jesus did this for me? Why you won't? Because you're ashamed of it. Simple as that. Brothers and sisters, our goal, our prayer is that you repent, turn to God, and he is just to forgive us. We're going to start Brother Zach up, and if you listen very carefully, you're going to understand exactly what we're saying. There's a confirmation on what we're saying, and you'll be able to write down some notes for yourself. And God willing, you'll call us back and share some of what the Lord gave you, or just set it for yourself, and then go ahead and begin to do the will of God. Become the part of the body that you're supposed to be. We look forward to hearing you, talking to you, after we hear this message. Mr. Dave?
In Matthew chapter 7. It's good to know these things. Matthew chapter 7. He said, verse 1 is don't judge lest you be judged. Verse 2 tells us how we will be judged. In the same way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. In other words, have you been very hard in judging other people? God will be very hard in judging you. Have you been very strict in judging other people? God will be very strict in judging you. Have you been lenient and merciful in judging others? God will be lenient and merciful in judging you. It's good to know that now.
Yeah.
Matters that are important for the final examination. In the way you judge others, you will be judged. So it says here in the next verse, don't keep looking at the speck in your brother's eye. You know, we see something wrong, small thing wrong in a brother or a sister. And immediately you go around telling other people, oh, did you see that sister, how what she was wearing, or this thing or that thing? What did that brother was doing? Did you see? Okay, fine. You will be judged in the same way when you stand before the Lord. For some small little thing you did wrong, the Lord will pick you up on that, because that's the way you judged all the other people. Some small, irrelevant, unimportant thing you went around judging others on, God will do exactly the same to you. Be ready for the final examination. I've often said in my home church, my brothers and sisters, if you listen to me and take seriously all that I teach you from God's word, it's like these tutorial colleges that train people for medical college examination and IIT entrance test and medical college entrance test, how they say, guarantee good results. Come here to our tutorial college for 1 year. And I say the same thing. Take everything that you hear in CFC that we preach seriously, guaranteed. You can even get 100% in the final examination. Yes. You can get it. Take these things seriously. Don't just hear it today and forget it tomorrow, please. Till Christ comes. Take these things seriously. You see a speck in a brother's eye? Don't leave it. He has not asked you to remove it. First of all, remove the beam from your eye. You know what the beam is? Have you ever meditated on, Lord, what is this log in my eye? I'll explain to you. You can preach it in your next sermon. The log is a judgmental attitude to that brother. Got it? That is the log. a judgmental attitude to that brother's small little mistake in him. I'm telling you seriously, if you take these things really to heart, you'll be ready for the final examination without a doubt. Let me show you another verse in James, in chapter 1, James chapter 2. Don't get discouraged if you don't know these verses. I'm a teacher. God has appointed me as a teacher of the word. It is my responsibility to teach the word accurately, correctly, to show you the verses that you don't know, to show you the verses that are important for the final examination. That's my job. That's what a school teacher does. The school teacher says, listen, these are the subjects to your students. This is what is coming in the final examination. Please prepare for it. That's exactly what I'm doing. Here's another verse, James chapter 2 and verse 13. It's a scary verse. Some verses in the Bible are scary. Judgment from God will be merciless to one who did not show mercy to other people. But mercy must triumph over judgment in your case. In other words, you come to a particular situation where somebody has done something wrong that has affected you. And you can be merciless in the way you judge that person and punish that person because you've got authority. You may be a father and mother. You may be a boss in the office or an elder in a church, and you're merciless in the way you treat that person. You wouldn't treat your own son or daughter like that, but this person is not my son or daughter. You're merciless. Remember one thing. When your final examination comes before the Lord will be just as merciless to you. So this verse says. So in my mind, when something happens like that, it says there's judgment and mercy. And it says here, let mercy get the victory in that struggle that goes on in your mind when a particular wrong was done by somebody. And I say, should I judge that or be merciful? Let mercy triumph over judgment. It says there. I'm not saying that we should ignore the mistakes people do. But in our disciplining, there must be mercy. That's how God is. And that's when you know Jesus. Eternal life is to know Jesus Christ. Jesus said that in John 17:3. This is eternal life. That they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And I see in Jesus Christ mercy, mercy, mercy. I love that story of the woman caught in adultery. Adultery is a terrible sin. It's a terrible, terrible sin. I find even among Christians nowadays, they don't take it seriously. Adultery, fornication, sexual sin with someone you're not married to, even in your thoughts. It's a terrible, terrible sin. Or watching somebody committing sexual sin. That's what pornography is. Watching someone committing sexual sin. That is my definition of pornography. And you sit and watch it. And some people even pay money to watch it. Okay? It's a sad thing if such a person calls himself a believer. But it's a terrible sin. But if we are not careful about these things, about judging others, we need to be merciful. Jesus looked at that woman. It was a terrible sin, and the law of God was very strict. Women who commit adultery must be stoned to death. Not because God loved stoning people, not at all. But it's because God had to teach Israel adultery is a serious sin. A woman must be faithful to her husband. A man must be faithful to his wife. And the way he taught that seriousness was, if a man and a woman commit adultery, both of them must be stoned to death. So, this woman is brought before Jesus by the Pharisees, and they tell Jesus, Moses said this woman must be stoned to death. What they did not know was that Jesus himself gave that law to Moses 1500 years earlier when he was in heaven. He was the one who told Moses from heaven, women caught in adultery must be stoned to death. The same person who is sitting here now was the one from heaven who said that 1500 years earlier. And now the question comes, are you going to keep that law? And Jesus, I like that. I've learned something from that myself. It says he scribbled on the sand. I know what he was doing. He was a man like us. He was saying, Father, what should I say? That is the law. I cannot change the law. What should I say? And he gets a word from the Father. Tell them, the one who is without sin, throw the first stone. So he says it. It's a wonderful thing. I learned something from that, to listen to the Father in tricky situations. What shall I say? I've been in situations like that, where I say, Lord, what shall I say? Give me a word. And Jesus says, one without sin, cast the first stone. Now, some of those Pharisees could have pretended, yeah, there's no sin in my life, but he knew that if he dared to say that, Jesus would publicly reveal all his past sins, because he knew that Jesus could see through people. So he said, I better go away quietly. So one by one, starting at the eldest, they all left. Till there was one man left who was without sin, who could throw the stone according to Jesus' own teaching. And that was Jesus himself. He could have done what he himself said, practiced what he preached, take a stone. But what did he do? Beautiful. If you haven't seen that verse, you must see it. John chapter 8, verse 11. He looked at her and said, has no one condemned you? Verse 10, John 8, verse 11. And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Mercy triumphed over judgment, even though there was a law which said you must stone the woman caught in adultery. Jesus was the one who gave that law. He had the right not to do it. I love that. To me, it's a very precious passage of scripture that teaches me. He didn't say, be careful. He didn't say, oh, adultery is not a serious thing. It doesn't matter. I mean, we all sin. Never mind. He didn't say that. It's a very serious sin. Don't sin again. Don't ever go and commit adultery again. That is the balance. I've often said that in CFC, we preach the full gospel. And the full gospel, some people say, is Jesus is Savior, Jesus is baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus is healer, and Jesus is coming King. What about Jesus is the overcomer, Revelation 3:21? And you must overcome as I overcame. That's not even there. Healer, I'll tell you honestly, I don't care if I'm not healed all my life of some sickness. I can still please the Lord and go to heaven. I want to be saved from sin. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I believe he's coming King. But here is the full gospel we preach in CFC. Two sentences that Jesus says. Number one, I don't condemn you. Number two, don't sin again. That is the full gospel. All in one sentence, John 8:11. Number one, no condemnation. Because Christ has died for my sins, and all of it is blotted out. His blood was shed for me. He hung on the cross and he was cursed for me, so that the curse will never come upon me. No condemnation. Zero condemnation. What's the second part of the full gospel? Never sin again. That's the part which is left out. That is the full gospel, John 8:11. Tell me where you hear it preached. I traveled in many churches and I never heard it preached. For years and years and years and years, till I saw it in scripture. And I said, I'm going to preach it myself. Tell me, show me some place where this gospel is preached. No condemnation as far as the past is concerned. Future, don't sin again. That's all we preach in scripture. Mercy for the past. Strength and power to overcome sin in the future. So, what should we do about failures that we have made in our life? We've blundered and we've failed. Confess it. As soon as you confess it, if we, 1 John 1:9, if we are faithful to confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise. And it doesn't take time. It's immediate. And not only cleansed. Hebrews 8:12, I will not remember your sins anymore. That's even better. That means when God looks at my past life, he looks at me as if I've never sinned in my whole life. Doesn't that give me great boldness? I've often thought of it like this. Supposing I had never committed one sin in my life, thought, word, deed, attitude, motive, no sin, how bold I will be to stand before God and say, God, I've never sinned in my life. I can come freely to you. That is the boldness I have because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It has blotted out my past, cleansed me. I acknowledged it, he cleansed me, and he says, I will not remember it. Other human beings will remember. Okay, let them remember. That's their business. But God says, I will not remember, and I only care for God's opinion. But then, what about after that? What about the second part of the full gospel? I don't condemn you. Finished. Now I need to overcome. Now, you know, in the final day, the Bible says that we read that everything I did in my life will be, we saw that at the beginning in 2 Corinthians 5, whether good or bad, will be exposed in the final day. And I don't know how it's going to be done, but the way I picture it is, it's a human, many things about heaven are a picture, we don't know it fully. But I think it will be something like this, that God will, on some type of video screen, show the whole world, all believers who were there in, from the beginning of time till now, will show my whole life on a video screen. One by one, our turn will come. And I think of my turn coming, and my whole life will be shown there from the time I was born again, because before born again is I was unconverted. But from the time I was born again, all my life, my thoughts, my words, deeds, my attitudes, my motives, everything will be on that screen, and whatever I confessed will be blotted out. Whatever I did not confess will be there on the screen. Whatever I forgave others will be wiped out. What I didn't forgive others will be there on the screen. If I hurt somebody and I apologize, it's wiped out. If I hurt somebody and I did not apologize, it's there on the screen. So on the screen, there's going to be a complete record of my life. So some people will say, what about all these things I did wrong? Whatever you did wrong is going to be erased. It will not be on the screen. So people say, well, then it doesn't matter. Because everything I did wrong, I confess, and nobody will see a single sin that I have committed, correct. But when they see all these big gaps in between, which is wiped out, they'll be wondering, what were you doing during that time, which had to be wiped out? It's going to be pretty embarrassing, I'll tell you. And we'll be rewarded according to how we lived our life. So mere cleansing doesn't solve the problem. It's erased from the tape. There's a huge section of blank tape which should have been filled with a lot of good things. And people don't need much of an imagination to think what you were doing in those blank spots. Even if it's wiped out, they know. Ah, I know. And there's another big blank spot there. Another big one. They say, I know what this guy was doing. I don't want that. I want to live before God. I hope you want to live before God to be ready for Christ's coming. I have tried my best to prepare you for the final examination. If you take it seriously, I believe you will thank me, because I'm going to be there at the judgment seat of Christ along with you. And if you take it seriously, I believe you'll thank me. Thank you, Zach, for telling me that. I decided that day to prepare for my final examination. And I'm getting good marks today because you showed me the subjects that were coming. Because until that day, I was concentrating on so many other subjects which are not coming in the final examination. But I decided from that day onwards to concentrate on the subjects that come. I have many times pictured in my mind, you know, we must use our imagination. I've said to myself like this, in my unconverted days, I use my imagination to think of all types of filthy things, just like you. Why can't I use my imagination now to think of something good things? So I use my imagination now to think of the judgment seat of Christ. I shut my eyes and I imagine that Christ has come, because it's true. He's going to come. And I imagine that he set up his judgment seat and he's judging people one by one. Different people's names are being called for this interview. And there it's going to be displayed on the screen, and the Lord looks through the record. And then my turn will come. And what will there be in my record? I'd say, Lord, I want you to look through the record and to say, there's nothing to be judged. Do you know there's a verse like that? 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. That you can stand before the Lord one day and the Lord can say, there's nothing to be judged in your life. Please read this verse. 1 Corinthians 11. If, and verse 31, 1 Corinthians 11, 31, if we judged ourselves rightly, we will not be judged that day. Thank God. And that is, I say before God, this is the truth. Once I understood this truth many years ago, I have judged myself every single day. Anything that I see was wrong many times a day, I judge myself and I say, Lord, that was not right. I want to get rid of it. Forgive me. If I've hurt somebody, I go immediately and ask forgiveness. Because I want to get to this verse. We will not be judged. Lord, I want that in my life. That I've judged myself so faithfully that in that day, God says, there's nothing to judge in your life. It's all clear. Don't you want to hear those words? In conclusion, I have one verse to read before we close. And that is in 1 John chapter 2. We earlier read 1 John chapter 3, that when the Lord comes, if we really wait for his coming, we'll purify ourselves as he is pure. But just before that, it speaks about the Lord's coming again. That's what we've been thinking throughout this evening, the coming of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2 is written to believers. Please take this very seriously. Let me paraphrase it so it'll be easier for you to understand. Dear believers, when Christ appears, there are going to be two groups of believers. One group will say, Lord, I'm ready for you. I'm waiting for you. Glad to see you. And another group will shrink away, try to run away. You mean to say there are people who are going to run away when Jesus comes back? Read the Bible. It's in your Bible. When he appears, some will have boldness and others will shrink away from him. Instead of going up to meet him, they'll shrink away. Where can we go? Who is this written to? Is he writing to all you unbelievers? Listen. No. Little children, abide in him. He's writing to believers. Two groups of believers when Christ comes. Those who are bold to meet him and those who shrink away. Lord, Lord, we're not ready. In shame. Why? Because they heard messages like this and they didn't take it seriously. They said, oh, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. That's exactly what the devil says. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. And then one day Christ has come and you're not ready. Because you said, on such and such a date, 35 years ago, I accepted Jesus into my heart. That's not enough, brother. Jesus said, John 10, 27, 28, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Therefore, I give them eternal life. Have you read it? Go to John 10, 27, 28. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and give them eternal life. It's not that 35 years ago I asked Jesus to come into my heart. A lot of people are deceiving themselves with that. It's not only a narrow gate that leads to life. Jesus said there's a narrow gate, a narrow way that leads to life. Coming to the starting line does not mean you've finished the race. Let us run the race and get to the finishing line. The starting line is being born again. Are you going to be at the finishing line or not? Let's pray. I believe you've heard some very serious and important things today. It was not meant to entertain us. It was meant to prepare you seriously for the final examination. Thank God you came today. Thank God you didn't find something else more important that you missed this meeting. And if you haven't heard everything clearly, this message is online on YouTube. You contact CFC Sharjah, they'll tell you where it is. You can listen to it again. You can pass it on to people who could not come here. Great way of witnessing. Heavenly Father, help us, we pray, each one, to be ready for your coming, to take the things of your word seriously. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. You want to share something, Mr. Davis? You got something? Okay, well, I want to let everybody know, I want y'all to think what we've been talking about. Okay, this is very serious stuff. Brother Zach said at the end, he said this. When we do Romans 9 and 10, that's the initial, that's just the beginning. When we say we confess the Lord as our Lord and Savior, and well, we will be saved. That's the beginning, okay? But at the finish line, doing the work, he says, do the work of the Lord. You see, we got to press towards now and do the work of the Lord. You see, and also if you listen to him, what he was saying, we have at the end the two believers. But do you remember also we said before that, he was talking about things that are forgiven, because on judgment day, we all go stand before the Lord, and those things that we ask for forgiveness for will be forgiven. But the things we haven't asked forgiveness for, like the anger we have for somebody, okay, the lust that we have for somebody, the things of this world that we want instead of focusing on the Lord, those things that we, the motives of our hearts, he's going to look at those things. And if the motives are, and it will actually keep us out of heaven. We'll be judged by those things. And because there'll be no more rebellions in heaven. There'll be no more. There was one before, and that's when Satan got kicked out, the third of the angels. So there'll be no rebellion. There's no sin in heaven. The one who tried to got kicked out. So now it's our opportunity to get prepared for Christ coming back. That's what this is about. Are you ready? What part of you are you holding back that you don't want God to have? What part of you are you holding back that you're saying, nope, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to surrender. I got to hold this anger a little bit longer. I got to figure out how to get that man, how to get that woman. I got to figure out how to pay them back. What's in our life that's preventing us from repenting of our sins and getting prepared for Christ, putting him first in our life? That's, do you remember what the Bible speaks? It says, God is a just God, have no other God before him, nobody and nothing. He says, and to us who are disciples, we got to hate our mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, even ourselves. Okay, that's in comparison. That's, in other words, anything that comes close, that resembles the same love we have for God, would not get us in heaven, because he's a jealous God and he won't compete with anything or anybody. We have to search ourselves. The Bible says, judge ourselves. Are you judging yourself tonight? If you're not judging yourself, you need to judge yourself. I'm going to turn on the max for anybody who'd like to share anything and what the Lord has given you. I'm going to let you get an opportunity, because I'm telling you, it's critical that we know the Word of God and prepare ourselves for God. We got loved ones who want to share the Word. Are we telling them one thing and doing something different? What's our motives? So if anybody would like to share anything, you got an opportunity right now. Okay. Well, let me tell you a couple more things. We've got a couple more minutes left. I'm not going to hold you guys up much longer. We got about 10 minutes left. Okay. The Bible says, and we're going back to what Zach was talking in 2 Corinthians, okay? 2 Corinthians 5, okay, verse 10 and 11. I kind of paraphrase what he said. It says, we must stand before Jesus Christ on judgment. Okay, on judgment day. And each of us will receive whatever we deserve, whether it's good or evil. We're going to receive what we deserve, whether it's good or evil. Okay? Whatever we do in our earthly bodies. So, check yourself out. Some Zach said a second ago, we talk about, we point out people's sins and the things they're doing. He said, like the little speck in somebody's eye. But when we look at the speck in somebody's eye, what's our motives? Do we have the judging attitude in us when we look at the speck of somebody else? I, as a man, used to look, going to church, and when the church was open itself, and sometimes I'd look at somebody and, you know, have a judging attitude. I would build myself. The thing is, though, I still had it. I had it. And the reason I had it, because whether or not a person, you know, was respectful inside the building, I didn't think about the person coming and the way they were. You know, just like they are. Christ tells to come like you are. But I thought they should come in accordance with what the church is running. I had to rebuke myself because I have to all look at myself. How did I come into church? And they accepted me just the way I was. Christ accepted me the way I was until I got to where I am today. And I'm not perfect. I'm nowhere close to that. But the thing is, I'm better off today than I was yesterday. And the thing is, though, when we see people, not the day the churches are closed, but how many people in our hearts and minds do we still have that same attitude with? We are his ambassadors. If we're the ones who are accusing the brother, remember those six things that God hates and the seventh is an abomination? Are we in that category? Are we the ones actually causing the brother's believers to leave the church? When I say brother, I mean sisters and brothers. Are we causing somebody to leave the church because of our attitude? Are we causing people not to want to come to Christ because of our attitude? What is keeping us from confessing our sins and then to the Lord, and then the one who offended say, I'm sorry? What is the problem why we can't take low? Jesus took low. We want to be like Christ. The reason why is we want to protect ourselves. And also, the other reason is we feel that Jesus is not enough. He said he's our comforter, but we don't think he'll comfort us to the point where if I say I'm sorry, they're going to do it again. How many times do we sin against Christ? Maybe not the same sin, but don't we sin every day? If not in action, then mind, thoughts, deeds, or ways. And how many times do he forgive us? So how many times did the Lord say we need to forgive those who trespass against us? But yet we want for us the forgiveness, but we don't forgive others. Again, I go back to the same thing I just read. We're going to receive whatever, good or evil, we've done in our earthly bodies. We can be judged by that. But we don't have to be judged by it if we judge ourselves now and repent from it. So when we get before the Lord and the books are open, we shouldn't have all that, well, you got unforgiveness here in your heart. You think you're coming in here? We shouldn't have that. We shouldn't have the Lord telling us, after all the work we've done, walking this walk, pressing that mark, to the end, we get to in front of God, and God tells us, get away from me, I know you're not. We should hear, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. But how many of us are getting prepared to hear that? Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Or are we the ones with the stone in our hand? We the ones with the log in our eye? Jesus' living disciples, We have responsibility to the Lord. We should be working hard to pursue others. God knows his children. Sometimes it may seem that we are crazy, meaning how we talk and act sometimes, or like we're really sincere in the word. But to either way, we should be giving glory to the Lord. We should be pressing towards what, meet them where they're at. Because sometimes you can run into a person that's, you know, a little way out there a little bit, you know, talking a little, you know, distance where people don't understand. But just remember, God at that time reported into you what to say to that person. So the thing is, though, a lot of times we don't want to talk to a person because we just judge them. But when the Lord puts them in front, that person in front of you, believe me, if you're studying the word, that word in you is enough, it's well sufficient, because it won't be you talking, it'll be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. But the thing is, though, because we don't want to say hi to, I'm not talking about when we go to talk to men, I'm not talking about man going to talk to women, I'm talking about women talking to women and men talking to men. I'm not talking about going out of the bounds of the Lord. I'm talking about staying within the scripture, sticking to the script. So when we see those things, sometimes our fleshly will talk to that man, a woman talk to a man talk to a woman. But that's fleshly. Because God doesn't know in the Bible where, God tells us men go talk to women, and women go and talk to men and go disciple them. That's, I haven't seen it. It might be in there. I haven't seen it. I do know he said this in the book of, I think it's not Ephesians, Titus, which is women disciple women and men disciple men. I've seen that. But we have a lot of people deciding to do their own thing and end up fleshly. And then when they end up, you know, getting hurt for one reason or another, that, oh, God ain't real. Yes, he is. You wasn't real. We have to stick to the script. The Lord has provided us a way to talk to people. And whether how we talk to them and what we say to them, we should not be talking our pet peeves. We should not be trying to get them to follow us. We got to point them to Christ. That's the problem. We, most of us are making ourselves little gods in front of those people. Why? What's the motive for our heart? Because we've studied the word a little bit, and that person who we're talking to is not as adept in the word. Therefore, we said we can tell them anything. Well, we're going to be held accountable for everything that we do in our earthly body. We cannot get around it. God has no, he doesn't have no favors. We all have to conform to his ways. He's not conformed to ours. Christ loves us. Christ's love is so, it should control us. Not our love for, you know, how we want to love, but the way that Christ loved us. We need to love other people. It's getting down to about a minute and a half and stuff, and I want to give it a chance again and say, does anybody like to say anything before we close out?
Hi, Brother John. I just wanted to say thank you, and I'm so glad that I wasn't on by accident today. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, sis. But to God be the glory. I want everybody to know this. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. We don't know when the Father's coming back, but pray. I ask everybody to remember each other as we're going through. And remember, next week when we start, we're going to start in the book of Romans. We're now going to get personal with it. We're going to get to the eye to Christ. How can I serve Christ? Father, help us, Lord. Help us to, Father, help us keep you in the focus of everything we do and say, Lord, because you are our Lord and you are our Master. We belong to you, Lord. You brought us back to you, Lord. You've forgiven our sins, Lord. Help us realize that, Lord, as we begin to walk this walk out, Lord. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We ask you, Father, have your way with us, Lord, from now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.